Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next item.
Item number 2, from the Interim Fiscal and Budget Administrator, Fiscal Affairs Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting a 2013 appropriation transfer packet for the June 2013 cycle.
Mr. Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. You have before you 21 fund transfers for this cycle. As indicated in the report, all have been signed by the County Executive. You have 6 receipt of revenue, 1 capital receipt of revenue, 1 unallocated contingency, 2 related to capital improvements, several related to departmental and other charges, and 2 departmental fund transfers. If there are any questions about specific fund transfers, I'd be happy to answer them.
Does anyone have any questions about? I'm holding on. Supervisor Jersey.
The fund transfer on the care management units, has this board previously been asked about expanding oversight, budgetary oversight for the counties of Sheboygan, Ozaukee, Waukesha, and Walworth? I was aware of Racine, Kenosha, but when did those counties get added?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, the Director of Family Care indicated that those were approved back in December of 2012. I would defer to the Department of Family Care for more specific information on that.
Well, if you're saying that that's the truth, then we'll take
Mr. Hudson is here.
They're saying the director approved it. I'll tell you, I'm not providing an oversight for counties I don't represent. I've had this comment before, and I just want to know if it was even communicated. The director approved it, but did the board approve it?
No.
I want to know if we've had this. Maybe I missed it. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr.
It's
Chairman.
Number 3 on the transfers.
It's my recollection that proposed expansion of the family care program has been before the board. I believe that something has been before this committee, if not just the Health and Human Services Committee. Mr. Hudson.
And Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this has been in front of the Health and Human Community Committee, and also went to the board, and that's just why that I stepped up. This your finance committee, you good what you do, but when it's related to other committees, you're gonna have a problem. And this is just why I make sure that all the committee members are different, because Chairman West for Health and Human Needs would have been here, you would have that information. But this, even though if she was not on there, you're gonna have a long road ahead of you. About every time a contract come up from other standing committees that understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure I came and said that. And this individual can do the rest.
Stay there.
Did you have a further question? Go ahead.
I appreciate and thank you, Chairman Mayo.
For transportation. Program.
Transportation Chairman.
All right.
Mayo, and on several committees. Was that presented to Health and Human Needs as an informational item?
No, actually it was an action item.
It was.
Yes, it was.
Well, I don't recall that, but I'm going. Can we separate the fund transfers? Because I will not provide oversight over all these expanded counties. I think it's an inappropriate structure of governance, and I've said that before, and I'm going to continue on my viewpoint on that. I don't know how other board members feel, but can we ask Mr. Cady if these items can be separated?
Yes.
All right, separate action on item 3. Is that the correct? The managed care unit 7988, I believe it is.
This is what page? What page are you on?
Yeah,
4. Yeah, 4.
7988.
And then continue. Well, starting with page 3. I would like also to hear from the department. It looks like the Racine County is running a fairly large deficit, which I understand is coming out of their contingency funds. But, you know, Milwaukee County has to stand behind this, because when they run out of their contingency funds, it's going to be on Milwaukee County for someday a potential of property tax dollars for these programs. And I just want to hear on that. Are we running a deficit in Racine, Kenosha?
Could you identify yourself, and if you have an answer to the question?
Chairman
Supervisor Jerzyk and County Board Supervisors. I'm Jim Hodson, CFO for the Care Management Organization.
Is the mic on?
Is it not? Is the light on?
Hello? Can you, is it working?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Jim Hodson with the CFO for the Care Management Organization. We had brought to committee both finance and health and human needs the year-end results for 2012 and for the first quarter of 2013, both at health and human needs and to this committee. This committee opted not to look at the financial results. It was an information report, but I will provide it to you. For 2012, we had a small surplus for Racine Kenosha. It was a little over $40,000. We ended the year, and for the first quarter of 2013, we have about a $53,000 surplus in that operation. What you have in front of you as far as the budget transfer is to our enrollment projections, because the budget process starts out earlier in the year. We had forecast what we anticipated enrollment to be throughout 13 and going into 2014, and we forecasted a little too aggressively. So what this budget transfer does is it recasts the enrollment and adjusts our revenues and expenditures. The budget is a break-even budget. There's no deficit budgeted. I can assure you of that.
Okay.
In fact, the Department of Administrative Services and the County Exec's Office, that's the target that we've always been provided.
I appreciate that. And can I ask Mr. Kay, what's the item number for the Racine? I think I pulled out the Sheboygan, Ozaukee, Waukesha, Woolworth, but what is the unit number for the Racine?
Mr. Chairman,
A2 and A3?
So you're asking for separate?
Separate action on A2, A3.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Supervisor Schmidt.
I'd just like to make a comment. I understand the concerns which my colleague has expressed before. I had somewhat similar concerns. Now a new member of Health and Human Needs, and I do appreciate the comments from Supervisor Mayo with the fact that no one is saying here that we have all, you know, because we're on finance, we know everything and can be experts in everything. We do rely on other very important committees as well to do their work and to do it well. And, you know, other committees have the luxury sometimes, if that's the correct word, to looking into great depth in some of these issues. Health and Human Needs has looked into great depth in this issue. This hasn't been something that's been a priority for finance. Also, the difficulty being in contracts going into the future. This is a major problem for us. We have very little to say, and some of these things we're used to coming to finance, we're not going to see. And we're going to rely on even more some of those other committees. But I did question yesterday in committee a little bit what you're talking about. I don't think we have any active programs with Sheboygan, Ozaukee, Waukesha, and Walworth. I mean, do we have any active programs going on right now?
Go ahead.
Chairman,
my question would be,
Schmidt,
I have a comment?
No, this was to establish a budget. The date would be July 1st.
Okay. And here's what I've always encouraged, and I've heard this a lot from the board, too. Our department's going out and looking for other sources of revenue. The example of IMSD, you know, if they have expertise, they go out and go to other counties and use their expertise to help out other municipalities and make some money for us in the interim. I don't have a problem with that. I did ask the question directly about Milwaukee. Our first responsibility is to take care of Milwaukee County. That's all our responsibilities. I couldn't agree more with that point. However, if we have a chance, this is a great model. This was, you know, our CMO was well respected. Unfortunately, the legislature then gave other CMOs a chance. We were doing a great job. I believe we'd continue to do a great job. And if we can't use our expertise to help others, I think we have a chance. And I said, is this any stretch of the imagination? We're going to have reports that somehow we're taking away from our management of our vulnerable citizens. And this is a whole new area, too. This 18 to 59. Development physical, that wasn't in there before. So they're taking on added responsibilities. We have more people in the mix, more people we can serve, more capitation dollars that we can come to Milwaukee County, of course. So we're increasing our numbers in Milwaukee County. We can increase other counties. We have just small measures so far, the Racine, Kenosha area. But that's another metropolitan area, southeast of Wisconsin, that has similarities to us in Milwaukee. I mean, us municipalities and urban areas got to stick together a little bit. They have some similar populations, urban settings, like the city of Milwaukee, for example. So I think a obvious area where we could go into to do the great programs, I know you appreciate that, we all do, that our CMO really does. It's a great program. We work very hard at it. We help a lot of people. So if we can help other people make more money, okay, and not to do a disservice to our people in Milwaukee County. And I asked that directly yesterday in committee. I said, you know, are they going to answer? No. Well, yeah, I expect the answer. If somehow they don't feel they have enough staff and are not doing the job they need to do in Milwaukee County to start with, then get out of Racine and Kenosha. Get out of these other areas, okay? But as long as they can do the job, which they say they are, numbers show they are, and we can add other people to take care of, and our people can have their expertise to do that, and we can make money. I look at Supervisor Mayo again and say, this is a win-win. Here we go. So I think I asked those questions. You know, some of those concerns were I think, allayed from the responses I've had in the past and that I heard yesterday in committee, and that's why I feel comfortable that we can continue to look at this a little bit and put some money out. You know, if it doesn't work, I expect them to come back. We watch this very carefully, at least Health and Human Concerns, and I'll remember that. I'll watch this closely, too, and to make sure that, you know, monies are there, that we're doing our job. We're not losing any service or any time or anything we should be doing for our Milwaukee County residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the gentleman with Mr. Hodson, would you identify yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Matt Fortman from Das Fiscal. I prepared this fund transfer.
What's your last name, sir?
Fortman.
Fortman.
Fortman. Yeah, thank you.
Adley's brother, I think. Yeah.
No, that's Fortman.
Thank you, Mr. Fortman. And with respect to the separate action, on what pages are we looking at?
Page four.
Three and four.
So we want number two and number three are separated.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cade.
Yes, Supervisor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So anything further on this? So we need a motion or separate?
This is just called out for separate action. And you can take a separate vote. You can just take one on both A2 and 3, or you can take separate votes on A2 and not A3.
What's your preference?
We can do A2, A3 together.
Okay. So let's do do we have a motion to approve the balance?
I make a motion to approve the balance.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
I had a question on two other items. Packet C, one, the House Correction EMU, it's the funding. I just wanted to understand, is that truly the half-year funding, or it's a whole year's worth of funding, even though we're halfway through the year, we're giving them a whole year's worth, or what's the, can you explain that? It's C1.
Page 12,
for those of us using paper.
So much easier.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, that represents the full year funding that was included in the 2013 adopted budget for electronic monitoring unit, with a slight exception. There was some funding in the Office of the Sheriff that was left in his budget when we did the original transfer, back in January, because there was some revenue associated with it. So the original fund transfer basically kept the expenditure authority and revenue that matched, so that the sheriff's office was held harmless since they weren't putting people out on electronic monitoring, and then transferred the balance into the contingency since at the time it was not being used for this purpose. Now that the House of Correction is under control of the superintendent, we're taking all of that funding and putting it back under the House of Correction for the EMU program.
So I guess the follow-up question is, do they need all that money for the balance of the year, or why wouldn't we give them what they need and retain in the appropriation for contingencies the balance?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, that's a good question. What we've discovered with the transfer of the House of Correction is that there are some other unanticipated costs from the changeover that they can use for these expenditures for. Part of it also will be the armor contract, which now they have full responsibility for in the House of Correction budget. So to the extent that the funds won't be used for the EMU, they can be used to offset some of those other costs. And related to the armor contract, there will be a fund transfer later in the year in the fourth quarter to take care of that issue. So just that'll be later in the year, obviously, as we try to sort out the funding for that.
Okay, I think I understood the answer. Mr. Chairman, my concern is that we regularly, and I, based on the answer, I see this playing out. We regularly get these things where they say, well, the department has money to do something else, something new, whether it's accommodating the all the other challenges we've got at the HLC or whatever. And it always makes me say, well, if they've got money for this new thing, it must mean that we gave them too much previously on something, and they didn't. They probably knew about it and didn't tell us that they really didn't need all of what they came in and requested. And this is clearly an example of that in my mind, where there's probably $300,000 of this or something that isn't going to be utilized this year, but they already know that they're going to come with another transfer utilizing this money, rather than what should be the process, what is the more transparent process, which is they come back for a fund transfer from contingency for the new items, the new expenses that come up as a contingency throughout the year, whether it's because of the challenges at HLC and the transition or not. But I just, so much happens in these fund transfers. If you're not watching that, you miss it, but I'm seeing that, and it's been a pattern that I've noticed, and I just don't think it's the most transparent way for us to go about this. Is there would staff be able to tell us what the actual needed amount or the anticipated needed amount for the EMU is? What would really be transferred if we were truly meeting their actual needs for the balance of the year, rather than giving them everything that's available just because it is?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, a valid point that you make. Obviously, with the transition, DAS Fiscal and the new superintendent don't know for sure how the transition into the EMU will go, so it's very difficult to estimate how many individuals will be out on this monitoring at any given time. I know they've started with a very small number. I understand that they're gradually putting more and more people out. It certainly depends on the individuals who are eligible, on the population. So, you know, we did consider trying to give them a partial year, but it's just there's just no good answer for how much this will cost at the end of the year, because it's ongoing. And so the thought was that we would give them this funding, since that's what it's intended for. It was intended for in the 13 adopted budget, so that they would have sufficient expenditure authority, however fast or slow they went with the EMU implementation, and also to avoid coming back, you know, later in the year if they put a lot of people out and they run out of funding, you know, then we have to come back in October, November with another fund transfer to cover that. So the theory was, because this funding is for the electronic monitoring unit, and they are in the process of implementing the unit, we wanted to make sure they had sufficient expenditure authority.
I understand around the margin, around the margins you might have trouble estimating it. But, I mean, is there any reason to believe that they could do any better than half of their budgeted activity on this if they're starting from near zero in June?
Go ahead. Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, you know, that's possible, but we also, because of the nature of the program and the availability of a contract, we weren't sure of the per unit cost, things like that. Could it be more expensive than it was before? You know, will it be less expensive? We just didn't know at the time that this fund transfer was prepared. So I certainly appreciate, you know, the question. It's just, we wanted to be able to make sure that they had sufficient funds to implement the program.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Superintendent Hafman is new to the system. He's worked in correctional facilities and for other governments, but he's new to our system, and I think that this transfer, and I appreciate the diligence, due diligence that Supervisor Lipscomb is giving us, because it's something that we all should be about as it relates to cost. But we're talking about roughly half of a year, and a new budget, I believe, was due yesterday, and we'll just have to see how things play out, and we all have to be mindful of how these dollars are being expended. And again, I appreciate the supervisor's concern, but I think because this is a new superintendent, that this is something, give him what he needs, because he's doing a lot of conversion. He's doing a lot of converting, I should say, because for a long time there was no electronic monitoring. And it has to be, and he's been in front of the Judiciary Committee to talk about the various things that have to happen that he's looking toward happening, and there was a lot of detail on what he said. He was being very comprehensive about what he said, at least at our committee. So I would give him I appreciate the diligence. I appreciate the scrutiny, but I'm going to vote for this, and I would hope that other committee members will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. And I think as the new chairman of Judiciary, you'll have certainly a chance to look at that, because these numbers will be coming up. When I looked at the whole packet, and we really do have to watch these fund transfers, I think we really try to look at them. I was not going to comment. The only one I highlighted of all of them was this one. I had a question on it, too, and you spoke, I thought, very well to it. I thought, I can be certainly corrected, I thought when we budgeted, there was discrepancy. The sheriff hasn't done any electronic monitoring, I guess the report says, since October 2012. He gave his philosophy, he doesn't want to put people out. You know, house correction, though, we certainly say is different than the jail. I thought the number was, the goal was 200. Was there 1,000 in the house correction? That feeling that these are not rapists, these are not, people who should be locked up. You know, we had this philosophical discussion, and there's how much money we can save. Electronic monitoring is working. You know, it goes along with the justice system and the monitoring we did to do these things. And I thought the number was like 200, and that's where this number came from. We figured out of all the inmates there, at least 200, or that was the goal. I think the new superintendent went along with that too. And I thought this was the kind of money you would need to initiate that. And the end result would be that we would save money, of course, by doing it this way, instead of incarcerating, keeping the people there, that being out and then having these monitors. Of course, they go towards a tavern or something like that. I mean, it goes off. But I thought that's where the numbers were, about 200, and that's how we got to this figure. So that was my take on that. That's why I didn't have any severe questions about it. So I don't know if that helps at all, but that is my understanding on it. Maybe that could be verified. Thank you.
Did you have questions on another item?
I guess if I'm the only one with concern on that, and now we know that we are likely to see subsequent transfers from now. So we're moving from contingency to EMU. We're going to subsequently see moves from the EMU budget into all these other things that legitimately should come up as draws on the contingency, which, I mean, the reason there's a distinction is that there's a higher burden when you're pulling out of the contingency, and there's supposed to be, and there's a higher scrutiny on that. And I think doing it this way is less transparent. I think it was worth noting, and I appreciate the explanation. I do have a question also on Packet E, items 1 through 9, which are, and it's nothing specific so much as it is a question about all of these draws on trust accounts, and I want to understand where the policy and the decision originates on this. You know, in terms of how does this decision get made to draw on all these trust accounts? In some cases, rather severely, almost depleting them. In other cases, not so much. There's, 10% or something is drawn. But is that just the department has had sort of unilateral ability to do that, and this is the only time we we see anything? Or I'm assuming all these trust accounts have different requirements, but if you could talk generally about that process.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, yes, all of these trust accounts are set up usually in the Parks Department through an easement agreement, usually. They are then set up through action of the county board to accept the funds, create the trust account. They have special purposes for them that you see in here. You know, they have to be directed towards trails or playgrounds or things like that. Some of them have ongoing sources of revenue. Some may have expired. I'm not sure, and Ms. Schlosser can probably answer that. And then it is up to the department to determine, to the extent that they open these up for spending these funds, how much do they want to request. And so long as the revenue being requested is available in the balance of the trust, DAS Fiscal defers to their management of that trust fund. And as long as the funds are being used for the explicitly stated purpose of that fund.
Do you want someone from the Parks Department to come and answer your question?
Yes. Well, I guess the follow-up was just in terms of what is the oversight then in terms of ensuring that this is that these are legitimately the trust, legitimately the items that the trust was to cover. So, comptroller, apparently, And then also, where would we see? I mean, knowing what's being drawn and what the remaining balance is one thing. But there's when you read the item, there's no sense. You don't really have a sense of the context. You don't know what the future expected revenue of it is. So, you know, as a policy decision, it's kind of important because you're sitting there saying, well, we're going to nearly deplete this fund. Have we met the goals that we had in establishing the fund, or you know what is this expenditure that's being? You don't really get the context.
Mr. Chair, regarding this item, when a trust is established, you have to come to the county board and get the county executive's approval for the establishment of any trust. So that was a policy that was established back in 1988 by means of a resolution. And so any trust that you want to establish for the county requires that approval, and also one of the other parts of approval, whether it's separately banked or earning interest or those other types of things. The responsibility at that point in time, a responsibility is determined for the trust. For example, some of these might be the parks, might be behavioral health. Each trust has to have somebody who is, in essence, managing it. And they are responsible for managing it according to the terms that the trust has. The comptroller's office is responsible for a biannual review of those trusts to make sure that the funds were spent in accordance. We do it after the fact, though. But it's the responsibility of the people who are managing it to make sure that they are meeting the guidelines of the trust that's there. So there is a review after the fact regarding the items, but it's the responsibility of the people who are managing it to make sure that they are meeting the requirements of it.
And so, Mr. Chairman, so then is this the only time we see it, or did the budgets lay this out? I mean, did they show that part of the department's operation is funded through this is one of the revenue sources they're drawing on is trust accounts?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, it varies by department. The zoo, for instance, does budget a couple of their trust funds for the railroad and one other one. The Parks Department generally does not. These trust funds then sort of establish the budget during the year, as I think if and from my memory working at the department, as special needs come up, if there's a special item at a playground that maybe wasn't anticipated or things like that, then they'll open up these trust funds and spend them on that. It can be very difficult to estimate for the coming year how much you'll need. These are generally small amounts. So, you know, kind of as the spring goes on, you'll say, okay, here's what I may need from this trust for the specific purpose related to this. So that's why Parks does it a little bit differently.
So you mentioned, Mr. Mansky, that you do biannual reviews.
Yes.
Have you ever seen inappropriate uses of these, even though they're after-the-fact reviews?
We have not. Generally, what we've seen is inactivity in trusts, where the trust hasn't been used in several years, and whether the purpose is still there, so we suggest the closure of the trust, or we go back to them, but generally we have not seen where the trust has not been used for the purpose that it was originally established. And for all of these trusts here, all of them are held in a agency account, but they all require that in order to spend the money, you can't just write a check. You have to go through all of the appropriation process, which means you have to follow, if you're going to enter into a professional service contract, you have to follow the rules of professional service. So it falls under the ordinance as far as you have to do appropriation transfers for it. You have to follow all of the rules for purchasing of the items related to it. So they're following the policies here of coming back to you and asking for the appropriation for the amounts.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. We're on item two, just so.
Right.
That's not directed at you. I know sometimes you think it's said when you talk, but it wasn't directed at you.
What I'm thinking about. Okay. I want to go back to the earlier item. I agree with Supervisor Lipscomb. Is the same type of oversight provided for the other items, the one discussed regarding the House of Correction? You know, when you look at it biannually?
House of Correction would not be the same. I mean, that's just part of the normal budgeting monitoring that you're doing during the year. When we report to you on a fiscal report of where the status is of departments, we ask departments to report to us what their projections are regarding where they plan to end up for the year. For example, in this one, for the House of Correction, they're asking to take money out of the salaries and wages and fringes and place it towards the payment of this contract for vacant positions. As Mr. Fudge has indicated, they'll probably have to come back to you later in the year for asking for additional funds to pay the remaining amount of the monies that are there. But they're trying to do some estimates right now to figure out what all of that will be. So I can't pay the total amount of the contract right now without the fund transfer that's there so that I can pay Armor for the costs that are incurred. So it's kind of like they're doing a piece of it now, and then they're trying to figure out what the remaining amount will be. So we monitor these things during the year. The way the financial system is set up is that if you're trying to make a payment and there's no appropriation authority left, the system will not let you make a payment. So it will stop it and not let the payment to go through. So we're just trying to establish some of the authority so we can pay some of these initial bills. And then my assumption is that if they need to, they'll come back with additional fund transfers or monies from contingency to do it. It's our understanding for that contract that's a judge's order regarding that, and so we're going to have to make payments for it, but we're just trying to get the budget authority in there now.
Okay.
Supervisor Jersey.
Just real quick. There are no tax dollars in trust funds. Is that correct? These are basically either grants or, like the zoo train, they collect the revenues and then keep it in a segregated trust account. Is that fair?
Mr. Chairman? Correct. There is no tax levy involved in those. Those monies should be coming from the trust, but that's something that if something did come from tax levy, we would notify you of that.
And, I mean, just regarding Supervisor Lipscomb's questions, a lot of times when you have these grants, the grant funder actually requires some follow-up and receipting and so on, especially if it's a continuing type of grant where you keep applying. So there's also some safeguards within the grant funder. Thank you.
Thank you. So what's the motion before us, Madam Clerk?
So approve the balance of the transfer packet with separate action on A2 and A3.
Okay. So on the balance, would you take the roll, please?
Supervisors Schmidt?
Aye.
Jersic?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
Seven ayes, zero noes.
Now on items A2 and A3.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What happens if we do not support this transfer? What will happen? What will happen? I want to hear. Where is NCO still here?
Is Mr. Fortman still here? Mr. Hodgson?
Well, Mr. Fudge, can you answer that?
I'm going to vote no.
Yeah, okay. What will happen if this is not supported?
Chairman, Supervisor Stamper, and County Board Supervisors, I guess that's a good question because you got what we were. I'm trying to establish a budget based on an authorization, so I'm kind of hearing you won't support the operation in those five counties. Is what I would hear that to be.
They're operating currently.
No.
So this
July
is
July 1st.
So it won't even start.
I believe so. I'd have to double check, but that was the understanding with the state. Yeah.
Okay. Why is it important to start with those other counties?
Chairman, Supervisor Stamper, the program, the best way to explain is the program is no longer county specific. The state is selecting regions now. So what's happening is the program is expanding, and there's going to be more MCOs in multiple counties. So in various counties like Racine, Kenosha, there's multiple MCOs. There's multiple MCOs or CMOs in Milwaukee County right now. There's community care. There's eye care. There's also a program called IRIS that basically competes with family care, so along with Milwaukee County. So the idea was so at times we have members who transfer move out of county, and we have a number of them, and we could, and yet the county responsibility, we could still serve those people if they decide to move in Racine or Kenosha, and then we'd also be in these outlying counties, and also it would improve our enrollment. I mean, we have a fixed amount of administrative dollars that we get. It's based on our enrollment. There's two components to the rate, and one is a PMPM for enrollment. So for every enrollee, we receive a dollar amount attached to that. So if our enrollment drops, then our administrative dollars drop, which then we would have to revisit our infrastructure costs and make decisions that way. Did I answer
your
question?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Director Josh, what is your opinion on that? Are you is DAS supporting this?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, yes.
Okay. One more time, Supervisor Joseph, your argument is?
Well, I'd be happy to help you, Supervisor Stamper. I'm going to give you more of a political answer. Okay. The smarty pants in Madison who are telling us that we need less money to do less because we're way overpaid and don't have enough to do are really asking us to oversee a regional family care program. And I think that was a little bit of a misleading statement there. It's not just people that once lived in Milwaukee County and may relocate. This is family care for all of those counties. And the smarty pants in Madison should be overseeing this program themselves. Now, we also have the smarty pants in Madison who will not support us on the mental health thing. So we've got a program that we listened to yesterday, the 1915I, who we're going to be looking at actually adding a social entitlement program on property tax dollars. This is what's happening in Madison. So we have departments who are trying to do programming. And I understand the programming they're trying to do behavioral health. But Madison won't put the money behind it. That one they're trying to put on property tax dollars. This one they're trying to expand the department responsibility. And I'm not playing the ball game. I'm elected in Milwaukee County. I'm overseeing Milwaukee County programs. And I am not going to agree to do a regional review. If they want to make this a regional program and set up a regional board, God bless them, let them do it. But they're putting more work on you. They're going to give you less pay. And this is much more budgetary responsibility. And by the way, I personally think, as I've been watching this, that Milwaukee's capitation rate, which supports our people in Milwaukee, has actually gone down because they claim they've got this bigger network that they can run. But I'm not buying it. So anyway, I heard Supervisor Schmidt talk about it, but That's the political answer. They can't give you the political answer.
No, I just want to say thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. You have a question?
Well, I thought the capitation rate went up, but what happened?
It went down and then it went up again.
Well, that
Yes.
Chairman, Supervisor Schmidt, we had one rate decrease, and that was in 2012. And to Supervisor Jerzyk's response, yes, it did go. We did get a small rate increase for 2013. We've had one rate decrease since the inception of the program, and that was 2012.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, are we ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Just clarification of which ones we're voting on?
A2, A3.
A2, separate action on A2 and A3.
Together.
Thank you.
And do we have a motion to approve them? Do we have a motion?
I have listed. I have Jurisdiction listed.
I doubt that.
No, I did. Wait a minute. No, all I did was ask separate action. If you want me to make a motion, it'll be to deny. I don't know if that's the motion you want.
Chairman, I move approval of items A2 and A3 of the packet.
Supervisor Johnson moves approval of items A2 and A3. Would you take the roll, please?
Supervisor Schmidt?
Aye.
Jerzyk?
No.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 no. The motion is approved.
On the item.